You guys good? You got drinks?
Again, sure. Two different statements, but yes, for the most part.
Are you ready to for me to start the show?
To start the show, and I have drinks. Am I well? Okay. It's very different.
I understand that. All right. Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 730. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Will there be a tariff on podcast revenue? And what is 40% of zero?
My math is fuzzy, but I think things multiplied by zero are zero. So.
Oh, good. So we're okay.
And who knows? Because some people do funny math. So. Earl is here as well.
And I'm just too checked out this week to have anything. It's one of those weeks.
That's fair. It's been something. Jeff is he's entertaining people at his home. He may or may not join us. But yeah, it's been another week of nonstop stuff going on in the world.
I had an experience this week I'd never had before.
Yeah.
So we were on a plane. We were on the runway about to take off. The pilot gave his announcement, you know, flight attendants prepare for takeoff.
Yeah.
And then somebody pushed the call button and the flight attendant was like, if it's an emergency, press the button twice. If it's not, then press it once and turn it off. Of course, the person pressed the button twice.
Oh, no.
It was a woman. Apparently, there was a man sitting behind her, like, harassing her.
Oh.
Like, I don't know if he had said something or touched her. They were like closer to the front, so I couldn't really tell. But we had to go all the way back to the gate, and then police came onto the plane and took him away.
Wow.
Okay, that is it. That is a new one for me.
Yes.
That's wild. Like,
yeah. We ended up getting into DC like an hour and a half late because that happened.
Yeah, so like once you're on that plane and like you're starting to like you start moving out onto the runway, like if anything happens, like it's going to be a bit before because they got to kind of pencil you into the next open slot.
Yeah, no, we had to taxi all the way back and wait for our gate to open up again. Yeah. It was just like a whole.
That had to be super uncomfortable for everybody on board, like. Oh,
it was funny. Apparently, they didn't want to tip him off or whatever, so they couldn't announce what was happening.
Oh,
of course, as soon as they docked and the police came on, the pilot was like, "Yeah, some guy couldn't control himself."
Jesus. Well, at least everybody was safe, and like that's good that there was like a system in place to kind of handle such a situation.
Yeah.
How does one tell the flight attendant though, like, hey, the dude behind me is an asshole and harassing me?
I assume maybe.
So the flight attendant came running up once
he said it was an emergency.
The emergency thing had happened. And then since it was an emergency, all the flight attendants came up.
Oh.
So like there were like four flight attendants standing there over this guy.
Well, I'm glad you had an interesting trip. Like, And now you're back in DC and everything yes. is okay.
Yeah, that's why I didn't get home till midnight last night. Very tired.
Earl, anything fun happened to you this week?
Not egg that, Sachi.
I'm not sure that the person that was having that done to them probably was having a good time. So,
well, so the police also need to take her off of the plane and get her statement. So we had to wait for her to come back.
Yeah. Well, hopefully everything worked out, and that guy is stuck wherever you were leaving. So
that's right, and probably banned from flying forever.
Yeah.
Good job, dude. Good job.
Yeah, don't fuck around on airplanes. Like, it can really limit you in a lot of ways if you get tossed off a plane or banned from flying. So just don't do that.
I had another one where we were taxiing to take off, and some guy got up and like walked over and started getting stuff out of his bag from the overhead. Like the flight attendant started yelling at him, like, you can't get up. You need to sit down so we can take off. And he was like, I'm not sitting down. I'm not doing anything. And so we ended up having to go back to the gate for him. And he was removed along with his companion, who was so pissed about the whole thing.
Oh, he's
like, I didn't do anything. Like, why are you shaking me off? And then they let them both come back onto the plane. The funny part about that one was we were on our way to Jamaica, and that couple ended up at our resort, at the same resort we were going to.
So you just, like, you just see them the entire time you're there, like, oh, those guys. Bet they're having a great time.
Yeah, right. They seem like fun.
The companions really still, like, they seemingly are not happy with their partner right now, so... Just avoid them at all costs.
Brett is like a couples resort. And why are you by yourself?
Well, long story. Yeah, I don't have any like crazy plane stories. Like, I don't think it would. Like, I always see the viral shit of like people singing on a plane. Like, my flights are always boring. I think that's the way most people would prefer it.
I prefer all my flights to be boring, but like the law of large numbers, like you fly enough times, you're going to have some weird stuff happen.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything is going to be more expensive shortly because that all.
I mean, some stuff already is.
Yeah. We recorded last week. And that Friday morning, a bunch of new tariffs were announced. And Nintendo already had a statement ready saying they were raising the price on the Switch 1, the original Switch, and Switch 2 accessories due to market conditions. So they didn't call out the tariffs directly, but we know what was up. And Earl, I think you said by Friday night, like some stuff was already.
Yeah. Some stuff
was already raising price. Yeah.
And then I think Sunday was when it took effect.
Yeah. So yeah. Yay. Everything's more expensive now. It's great.
Woo. Even though Trump claimed this wouldn't happen. I'm shocked. Shocked. Dismayed.
I mean, I have to feel that he has people telling him that, oh no, like prices are low. Everyone's happy with you. Like, because he goes on these interviews and talks about how everyone loves him and that prices are low and gas is $2 a gallon. And it's like, where's he getting his information? Like,
I mean, the same place he always does from him. Like, people, he gets to say whatever, and people somehow make it a reality, or nobody fights him because apparently everybody's I don't understand what power he wields other than the power everybody seems to be giving him just because.
Yeah. So, yeah, everything's more expensive. Yay. That's great. I'm happy I bought Switch 2 when I did, because I feel that by the end of the year, that thing will be more expensive than it was when we bought it. So,
I mean, like I said, that was one of the reasons I got it at launch. It wasn't, I mean, not to say that I have any qualms with the system.
Right.
It's very much a, we're getting this because what else are we supposed to do?
The only positive I see out of this, and it's a personal positive, is I'm going to Vegas in October, and evidently tourism is down like 40% there or something to that effect. So I'm hoping that maybe the prices will be a little bit cheaper when I get there. So I have heard from people like booking rooms that they're getting stuff comped, and so that would be nice, but also I would just prefer things be normal instead of constantly in chaos.
Yeah, that'd be happy.
Yeah. But enough about the sad state of the world. let's turn our minds to video games so that other people can not be thinking about the sad state of the world currently.
We need a skip button on the podcast to skip to the part that's not sad.
So yes, we need like, hey, you need to skip like the first 10 minutes of this. And the news I saw wasn't bad. So there was no like layoffs, any of that stuff. So hopefully Earl's gonna kill it right here.
Well, no, because I mean I've not followed it up. I've not followed too much. I've seen it in passing. Microsoft canceled a game this morning.
Oh shit! Yes, Contraband, which you may have remembered as being revealed. No. No, okay. So 4 years ago, I think 4 years ago, they revealed a game, Contraband, by Avalanche Studios. They are the people behind the Just Cause games. The trailer was very like adventure-ish, and it seemed like it would be a multiplayer kind of like hunt for treasure type game. That was, I mean, not officially canceled, but put on ice because Avalanche did, they laid off some people today, and they are reevaluating that project currently. So I don't know if it's officially canceled or if Avalanche is going to take it and shop it elsewhere, but it's definitely on ice currently.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So another game, another game on the chopping block there. I assume that's the one you were talking about, Earl. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was the only thing I saw that like, was negative. I'm sure we can find more, but that was the one thing.
If we look hard enough, it's the video game industry. Like, we can find some shit. Well, then things that aren't, I guess, like canceled or stuff is coming out. Let's say that Nintendo had another. Was it a direct?
It's an indie world, so it's a direct, mostly focused on, well, not mostly focused, but focused on independent eShop titles.
Right. And they it was short, 15 minutes long, and they announced a bunch of games there. The one I see everybody talking about is a game called Mina the Hollower,
which we knew about, but I think because the demo came out today. Mina the Hollower is from the Shovel Knight people, so of course it has a huge pedigree in backing that. I mean, Shovel Knight is probably one of the premier indie games of the past, I mean, over a decade now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks great, and there was a demo today, so that was, and that also kicked off the show. I did download it. I have not had a chance to play the demo yet, though.
I saw the trailer. I haven't played it yet either, but I saw the trailer and it kind of has like a Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color type scheme to it. Like that's kind of what it looks like, which is kind of neat. Like that's not a aesthetic that many people go for. I'm not real. What type of game is it? It looks kind of.
Zelda-ish,
it looks like of? An action-ish game. Yeah, like yeah, kind of like top down. Yeah. Okay. Well Dweller was another one that was announced. It's that action side scroller, kind of like a horror vibe to it.
Yeah.
That one looks okay. It's a ways off though. It's not till next year.
There was one. Oh crap. Just because it looks like all of the other games on PC that people go viral for, like Control, Influence Control, something like that, where you're basically a bunch of like streamers trying to, rack up money during like live streams of horror, like haunted mansions and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, this looks interesting, but again, very much in the same vein of a lot of things that you see. On Phasmophobia, I think is the one that really comes to mind.
Yeah.
You tend to see like those games as out of like early access games that take off because it's 4-player co-op and it's very streamable. There was that. I think the big one that they snuck in, UFO 50, which was released actually on PC. I think this is the first console debut of it. And yeah. I think we talked about it last year when it came out. I don't think any of us played it. It is a collection of 50 different video games from like independent developers. Some a couple of minutes, some a couple of hours, but all like distinct, like NES Genesis esque games. So that's kind of gnarly as well. There was two that I enjoyed. Pit and Ball, I want to say, or Ball and Pit?
Ball Cross Pit?
It's the cross, the X is silent, apparently.
Okay, so Ball Pit?
Yeah, I think it's whatever. But yes, because it's kind of like, it's like a, I was going to say it's like a horizontal shooter. Instead of like, you know, like you're shooting at the top of the screen, you're going across the map and you get different types of balls. And they have different physics as a roguelike with that kind of shooting. I'm like, oh, this actually looks like the name's stupid, and I didn't think I liked the concept, but it looks actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, which I will just briefly mention because it was like one that I was just like, oh, this looks really cute and charming. I'm going to pick it up, and I did, and that will be in what I've been playing. Is The Seat Taken? Which is a puzzle game where it's essentially just in a seating arrangement game. You have a bunch of people. I mean, I guess I might as well. It's a puzzle game where each map or puzzle, there's like, you know, there's a handful of people or items, and you have to arrange it in a way that satisfies everybody. So it might be something as simple as I want to sit alone. It might be I have not showered today. So like if they haven't showered, then people don't want like, if people are like don't like strong odors or don't like foul smelling odors, you can't sit them next to each other or near each other. Some people will be like, I don't want to sit next to kids. Some people I want to sit next to my mom and dad. I want to sit with my friends. I play loud music. And there's different setups. So you might be on a boat, you might be on a bus, you might be in a movie theater, you might be in a restaurant. So like a restaurant would be I want to sit, but I don't want to eat or drink. So like they can have nothing, or you can have coffee. Somebody might be, I just want fries. On the movie theater, it might be like, I don't want to sit in a dirty seat. It might be that I don't want to sit behind somebody on their phone. So stuff like that. And then you play around until you can figure out the right configuration and moving people around. And then like each one, some of them are interconnected. So like the one I'm playing right now is on a bus. Well, I mean, there was one I played, a world I played earlier where you're on a boat. So some of the things with the boat is certain people don't want to be splashed, so they can't sit on the sides. So you have to like arrange them in the middle. Then there's certain people who don't want to sit with kids, so you can't do that. Then there's people who want to sit in the front of the boat because they want to take pictures. And there's people who get dizzy if they sit in the front of the boat. So it's stuff like that, navigating that arrangement and trying to see, you know, like there's no pressure, there's no stress. It's not like you're timed or anything. You get points for every successful person. You can pass the level without making everybody satisfied, but the game does kind of like, you know, it does tell you like, oh, like, this is good. Everybody, like, people's faces change when they're happy. And again, you can be like, they could be happy you move something, or they're too close to something and it changes. Or it might be like some of the ones where it's like, I want to sit next to my friend. They won't be happy until everybody's in that group is together. And then again, it's a really, so far I've really been enjoying it. It's a very simple game, but I think there's enough variety, there's enough uniqueness with between the character demands and the environment so far that I can, you know, I'm not expecting this to be like a 20-hour epic, but it's a really great to play game so far.
Okay. That one sounds pretty fun.
And then, because it always drives me nuts on podcasts, the game is called Is This Seat Taken? Because I hate when people talk about something at the start and don't say the name again. So,
Is This Seat Taken? Out today. So,
yeah.
On Switch and Switch 2, or just Switch 2?
I think it's a Switch and Switch 2 title. Okay. And I think it's also out on mobile and maybe Steam Deck.
Yeah, if it came with PC, then yeah, people probably be like a game. If you're playing it on Switch and it's on PC, then it's playable on Steam Deck, most likely. Looks like 7 of those games are coming to Xbox as well. Mina the Hollower is coming out. That's later this year. Content Warning, which I think is the one you were just talking about previous. That's the 4-player kind of ghosty thing. Game called Herdling, Ball Pit, Ultimate Sheep Raccoon, which is a spiritual successor to Ultimate Chicken Horse.
Of course.
Winterboro and Little Kitty Big City coming to Xbox. So,
Little City, Little
already there. Yeah,
yes,
that's just getting an update.
Yes, this is getting an update.
Cool. Some indie stuff coming. I don't know. I'm interested in UFO 50.
Samesies.
Yeah. I like the concept of that they've created this fake console that they made that there's a collection for. I think that's a really cool idea. I don't know. Maybe I'll keep an eye out for sale on that one.
And to be fair, I think it's only $25, which I think is really reasonable as well.
Yeah. The other thing that that caught my eye that happened today was QuakeCon is happening now this weekend, I guess. And last year they dropped Doom 1 and 2, Doom 1 plus Doom 2 as a new packet of games. And this year they did the same. But with Heretic and Hexen, both have just been dumped out onto Game Pass. And Heretic and Hexen are, they're probably notable because like Doom is, they keep releasing Doom all the time. There's always a Doom copy, but Heretic and Hexen, I don't think have gotten, editions that have come out recently of them. So, kind of neat to get those two. They're fantasy based Doom clones from id Software, and Night Dive Studios did a bunch of work on them as well. So that's kind of neat. The you know, dropping old new games out. But that is it for what I saw as this week. It's been a bit late. Yeah. Oh, I think Gamescom is coming up shortly, so people are probably holding news for that. That's in 2 weeks. I believe Gamescom is where they're going to announce the pre-orders for that Xbox handheld. And we'll probably get pricing on that as well there, which everybody seems to be thinking about $900 for the like better model, which is a lot for handheld. It's a lot for anything, but like, it does seem a little crazy. But yeah, that's it for news. Not much going on in the way of news. Earl, you played, Is This Seat Taken. Did you play anything else this week?
Not really. More Donkey Kong. Fortnite just started a new season with Power Rangers. I played some of that.
Did you get any of the Power Rangers?
Not yet. I've not seen anything. The Power Rangers thing is interesting. I think the most interesting, well, for me, I didn't finish that season, so I had to pay the money for the first time in forever. I was going to say more than the Power Rangers, I guess, real quick, is it kind of added, like the whole thing now is like there's an invasion of bugs, which is more interesting because you go and there's like nests and burrows that you have to go and destroy or you just get overrun by bugs. And then it's like you can summon a queen bug and stuff like that. That stuff is kind of interesting. But no, so far I haven't seen anything Power Rangers related. Like I think Tommy or the Green Ranger is the skin in the season pass. And then I believe that the rest of them are paid down the road. But and again, you know, Megazord and stuff like that. I am curious to check it out.
Okay. And how far are you in Donkey now?
Oh, that is a good question that I probably should have an answer for. I want to say they are, let's just go with 10 or 11. I forget, is it what, 10, 100 or 1,000 or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're making your way. I think there's 1,600.
16, yeah. I need to settle down and just play through it. It's just been, again, it's been one of those weeks. I've been home, but I've just not been in the video game mood.
That's fair. It happens to everyone. We all go through it. Yeah. Tony is the only one that is constantly playing something at all times. And speaking of which, Tony, what have you been playing constantly at all times?
Well, so I've been on vacation, so I haven't actually.
Oh, well.
But I did finish my Total War Three Kingdoms campaign. It mm-hmm. was funny because I was gone for 4 days and I came back all excited to get into like what I thought was the final chapter of my Three Kingdoms campaign. And it turned out that I was only like 20 minutes from the end. it was very anticlimactic to expect this epic battle and get nothing. So. That game is great. I really like it. I think I was saying this last week. I really, really hope they take some of the mechanics for that and fingers crossed when the game they announce in December is Total War Medieval 3, which I'm pretty sure it will be. I hope they use those mechanics in this game. Because there's some really awesome stuff in terms of like heroes who raise retinues, which could be like, you know, medieval lord raising his vassal. Right. Like, I really want to see that as a mechanic in an actual Total War game. But that'd until that's done, I've decided to play Total War Warhammer 3, you know, because I need a break from all these other historically based Total War games. We'll move on to the one that's not
complete fantasy.
Absolutely. It is kind of a different experience, like with the magic and like some of the stuff that you guys can do. It kind of makes mm-hmm. the battles in a real Total War game, a historical Total War game seem a little absurd. Like there are literally characters in Total War Warhammer 3 that are like nuclear bombs. Like they can literally walk into the middle of the enemy army and just explode and kill them.
That's goofy.
So after like you play through Total War Three Kingdoms and you're like carefully you know, making careful dispositions of your men. Cavalry go here, archers are here, blah, blah, blah. And then you switch over to Total War Warhammer 3, and it's literally like a guy whose main objective in life is to just run at the enemy army and not die until he gets there. And then die. In a torrent of fire that kills everything.
It's just a giant walking bomb that...
Yeah,
trying to navigate their way through a crowd to do most damage.
There's one character on one of the factions, Lord Croak. That's literally what he does. He gets close to the enemy army, just explodes. Like, you look at his abilities, and it's literally like different kinds of explosions when he gets there and blows up. But he's magic, that's so amazing. He reincarnates. He comes back.
That's a useful skill.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to blow up, you better have some way of, you know, unblowing up.
So. Yeah, because otherwise it's only good for one go.
Like, yeah. I obtained the skill where I can explode and destroy an enemy army. Watch, and then I never see you again. It doesn't matter.
So, all back from vacation, starting up to war again. Anything that's on the horizon for you that's not Total War, or...
Yeah, so I'm hoping to finish Red Dead Redemption 2 next week. And then I have Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 installed on my Xbox. So I'll hope to get into that.
Get that started.
Yeah.
Well, so they released the Shinobi demo. Art of Vengeance? Yes. Yeah, Art of Vengeance. It's the one that's coming out end of the month here. They released a demo. It's the first level of the game. And I played that on the Steam Deck. One, game looks phenomenal. It's very, very pretty. It's very stylish. I believe it is being developed by the people that did... Streets of Rage 4. I believe that is the people that are working on this. So that's a good side-scrolling beat 'em up. This is more in line with classic Shinobi. I was talking with Jeff outside of the show, and kind of said this looks really good and it plays fine. But the new Ninja Gaiden game is like, that looks more like what, you know, a 16-bit pixel art game looks, but it plays just phenomenally. And Jeff's was like, yeah, that's kind of the thing. Like, Ninja Gaiden is super gameplay focused, and Shinobi always looks cool. It's just, and it does play fine. It plays like an arcade game, but. The big draw of Shinobi is like it looks good, and that's what this Art of Vengeance game is doing. It looks really, really good, and I think it's a relatively cheap when it comes out. I think it's going to be like $25 when it comes out. So I might jump on that in a month. I liked what I played. The bosses I came across, there were two. They were tough. The first level boss, the final boss of that level was actually took me 3 or 4 times to beat. So there's a little bit of a challenge there, but it's a neat looking game. Kind of looking forward to that one now, but I think Ninja Gaiden Ragebound will be the better one of those two, side scrolling arcade ish classic games. And then the other game I'm playing, so that the new Mafia game comes out, I believe, tomorrow. Mafia, the Old Country.
Yes, tomorrow.
And I was like, I kind of want to. I want to play that game. And then I realized I've never played Mafia 2. I bought that 3-pack that had like the remake of 1, 2 definitive edition and 3 definitive edition. But I had never played 2 at all. So I started playing Mafia 2. And that's a decent, a decent little crime game there. Definitely plays like an early 360 game. But, and it's weird because there's an open world, but it's chapter and level based. So, like, when you start a mission, that's kind of the only thing you're going to be doing is like, all right, like, you know, Vito has to go to the mall and rob a jewelry store. And like, that's the mission for that level. And there's not a lot of open worldness to it. Like maybe at the end you have to escape the cops and get back to your apartment or something. But it's very much like a very linear. When there is open world, like when you're actually able to explore, there's not much going on in it. It's just there for aesthetic. So it's more like a more traditional game, which is makes sense. The game's only about 11 hours. And that's what I hear Mafia the Old. It's Mafia 3 was straight up GTA in the 60s, New Orleans. Actual open world. There were street races. There was all sorts of stuff. Mafia 1 and 2 are more like chapter based. And that's all the reviews I read today of the Old Country. That's the format they're returning to. So it's probably going to depend on which style you like. But if you enjoyed Mafia 1 or 2, that seems to be what the Old Country is going to be going for. And I'm liking what I'm playing of 2 so far. Do you guys ever play any of the Mafia games?
I've actually played none of them, I don't think.
I think I played. I have to look this up. I know I played the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the impression that it gets. It's like, oh, look at this giant GTA world that you don't get to play around in.
Yeah. Mafia 1, I think, was like during Prohibition.
Yeah.
This one is. It starts off during World War II, and. Then there's like a time jump about 5 chapters in where it moves into like the early 50s. Everybody's going to like jump down my throat. Cause I'm not like a huge Godfather mob movie type, but it's like the Godfather. Is that in the 50s? Would that be about
takes place?
So this feels very much like that. Like Empire City is supposed to be kind of New York City. There's different mob bosses. You're aligning, like, and it's very linear. Like, you're not going to get in a GTA game, they might give you like all one of them. This is like telling a very straightforward story, and it's like you're going to align with this mob boss and follow this. You're going to follow this path. It's like, this is the only path. So you don't really get to jump around in it, but it's kind of neat. I like period piece games. And so Mafia 2 scratching that itch, and it's, I already owned it, so might as well play it. And I don't need to pay $50 to play the Old Country yet, because I'm playing Mafia 2. I am interested in the Old Country, though. That takes place in Sicily, like turn of the century. It's a lot of horseback and stuff, so I think that could be neat. At least a neat area to explore or inhabit. You're not going to explore much if it's like Mafia 1 and 2. So that's all I've been playing. But I did watch something this week. Yep, go ahead.
I remember two pieces of news while you were talking. I didn't want to interrupt.
The first circling one, back to news.
Yes, the first one, which I think is a super positive, is Digital Foundry announced today that they're going independent. They broke up from IGN.
I didn't even know they were part of IGN.
Yeah. I think most people didn't, because you either go to the website or you go to like their YouTube channel. But they were, IGN Panic Network bought a bunch of, whatever, you know how that goes. There's like three companies that own every website. And then the other one, and I want to make sure I get this correct. I don't think they announced what it is exactly, but the previous Guitar Hero, DJ Hero developers formed
Red Octane.
Yes, and they're working on a new rhythm-based game, which people are assuming, which is probably an assumption that's worth making, that it will be similar in vain to DJ Hero and Guitar Hero. Those are the two news I make. I knew there was something else that happened this week, but I could not remember what.
That is neat about Red Octane kind of reforming.
Yeah.
I guess with the, I mean, the founders aren't, they're involved. They're not the head of the studio, but they're on an advisory board, it looks like. So yeah, that looks neat. I'm excited to see what comes out of that. I don't know if Plastic Instruments have a place in games anymore, but that's a good thing. The only thing that did catch my eye is that it's not Embracer Group, but it is Embracer Group. They're the ones that are kind of like, what is it called? Fellowship or something is what they're, Fellowship Entertainment, which was previously known as Embracer. When, you know, last year we talked about Embracer splitting off into three different divisions. This is, it's going to be operating under that Fellowship Entertainment banner. So I don't know what to think about Embracer at this point. They're very quick to kind of kill everything.
Yep.
So I hope something comes out of this. It would be neat to get a good rhythm game or something. All right, Earl, did you watch any of Twisted Metal season 2?
I'm up to date. I gotta watch my trash.
Okay. So I'm not fully up to date. I saw a new episode came today, and evidently today.
Yeah, it's a very weird reschedule. 3 to start last week, 2 this week, 2 next week, and then 3 to wrap up at the end of August.
Oh, so
like 4 weeks, 10 episodes.
All right. Well, at least I know. So, like, I thought it was 3, and then there'd be 1. You know, like 1, 1, 1. So I watched episode 4 today, and then was very surprised when at the end of episode 4 they were like, "Yeah, episode 5 is live." And I was like, "I do not have time to watch that right now." So I'm up through episode 4.
Can I just say, I watched episode. I mean, I watched 4. Like I said, I'm up to date. Episode 4 is one of the horniest episodes of TV I've seen in a long time.
Oh, yes, very.
I was like, oh, my, listen, I'm not saying it. I was into it, but I'm like, oh, this is very horny. And I mean, part of me is like, I'm happy that characters are horny for each other. And
yeah.
Whatever else that was going on with the rest of the episode, I was just... I did not expect a Twisted Metal episode to be this damn horny, but it was great. I do like that they made an episode or shot, I mean, aside from being horny, around like how did they actually get their cars kitted out? Like all of these.
Yeah. That was what episode 4 was that they're going to this place called Diesel Town or Diesel City or. Anyway, you get there, you gain access to the city by presenting gas, and then you get a currency to buy things in the city with. And it's where basically, you know, guns and ammo and rocket launchers and grenades and all that are bought and sold in this world. And yeah, the entire episode was them kind of getting in there and getting supplies for this tournament that I'm now 4 episodes in, and there's only 6 episodes left in the season. We're still not quite at the tournament, but.
And Warriors, you're not at the tournament. The tournament There's like a qualifying round, which is what episode 5 is. So the tournament itself hasn't begun yet either. But if you do, episode 5 is mostly one. It's kind of like the first half is getting to know like the other characters and the cars and stuff like that. And then the rest of it is pretty much vehicular carnage. And it's really good action, really fun. I think they've done a good job. Okay, one of my favorite bits, and because I didn't know this was a thing, was in season 1, Neve Campbell plays like the, not the big bad, but she plays like a character who's revealed near the end of the season as kind of running this gated community.
Yes.
And apparently either they couldn't afford her, she's busy with Scream 7 or whatever, they did not get Neve Campbell back. So they just made it so like the person who she played is a person who just gets replaced out every so often. There's like a whole wall of different, like, you know, dark hair, white women.
they call them that. So yeah, Neve Campbell's character was called Raven, and it is a funny bit in this in the second season. There's a whole new Raven, and it's like, I thought that they were just, because they're calling her Raven at the beginning, and yeah, I'm thinking, yeah. And they make a joke where Anthony Mackie's character goes, "Man, I prefer the previous Raven." Yeah. So he just calls it out that this is not that same character, and that there is a in-world reason for the mayor of this town to be
to change his character.
Yeah, and they gave her a backstory too.
Yes. That's what I was confused by, because since that started episode 1 is her backstory, and they flash forward, I'm like, do I know this person? And then they say the name, I'm like, I feel like we were introduced to them, but then they showed her like the pictures on the wall. I'm like, oh, okay, it's the same. That's the thing. Is it the same character? It's not the same character. It's different.
People. No, yeah.
But so is this just a backstory for her, or is this like the backstory for all the Ravens?
So it's the way I took it, Earl, was that the backstory for this Raven is what happened. You know, this teenage mishap that goes on, and her friend is in this coma, and that's why she wanted John to be her driver in the race.
I guess I was thinking about that, and like if she disappeared. Like, one, why was her friend kept alive then if she was not the primary Raven? And like if her
right.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things. But again, the show does not ask you a lot, so you don't have to worry about it. I will also say Calypso, just because I know the guy. Well, not like I know him personally, but he's very much a very, 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 very bald dude. I mean, if you've seen, he's the guy, you know, whole Hank and Barry. He was Victor Zsasz in Gotham. He's Metamorpho in the new Superman movie. So like him with this wig, and they make no qualms.
It's absurd it. Too.
Yes, this ain't no qualms that it's a bad wig, but it's like one of those things. One of the reasons I like they lean into the absurdity of the stupidity of it all. Because, like, was it the third episode? Again, Twisted Metal is Twisted Metal. But the third episode is when you meet Axel.
Axel. So, yeah, if you know from the game, Axel is, he's a dude that's just two wheels. And they built it out for him. Like, it worked.
Yeah. I think they gave him a good backstory. I won't spoil too much. Wait, there's some good stuff in that episode. There's a really good punch on to a visual gag at the very start of the episode that they come back to at the end of the episode. Yeah, I think they do a good... I think at the end of the day, I think they've done a really good job of making the main two characters, Quiet and John Doe, or I forget his actual name.
Lionel.
Like they make them compelling characters. They make them interesting. Like, it's the whole... You know, they're rough and tough individuals, but they have a soft spot for each other. But then you find out, you know, they have a soft spot for a lot of people. They're not complete asses like Quiet's journey this year of being a mentor to the person who, you know, was trying to rob her and stuff like that. Again, their horniness for each other around murder and other stuff. It's a really fun show. And I think you can go back. I don't know if it's last year or 2 years ago when the show was coming out. I think we were all kind of in agreement as to who actually wanted this show. And, you know, like a season and a half in, I'm like, oh, this is working so well for me because it understands what it's not trying to be high art. It's not trying to be any, it's not The Last of Us. It's not even Fallout, but it's trying to be a really fun action comedy. And I think it's knowing it so well.
Yeah, I think it knows that like the very premise of Twisted Metal is pretty goofy and stupid. And they're just leaning into it, like
embrace that stupid.
Yeah. And they are like, it's really funny. There's a couple great bits in episode 4 where, so there's this guy Stu that, travels around with, Sweet Tooth, who's the psychotic killer clown type dude who drives the ice cream truck, and they both end up at this place, and all Sweet Tooth ever wants to do is murder people. Oh, and Stu is like, hey, dude, you can't. Like, we're going to die here if you do that. So the next best thing that he can do is like gives him some money to go buy stuff. And he buys this dumb cape that he gets fleeced on. Yeah, it's like it's a Dracula cape, and he's just prancing around with it and like swirling it around and then killing people under the cape. It's so dumb. And they just lean into it, and it works really, really well
for him getting horny because he's killing people with the doll face.
Yep.
And like, okay, he's really into this murder thing. It's getting him off until stuff goes south.
Yeah. So I'm only 4 of the 10 or whatever episodes in so far, but I liked season 1. Season 2 start. I thought that first episode was a little slow. I thought it ended well, but I thought it was just like a little bit slow. But once John gets out of the city, out of the safe zone, it becomes fun again. Because that's what worked in the first season was like the road trip type stuff. And because the characters all interact really well, as you said. They're fun to be around. They're not all assholes. In fact, the main two are actually nice people. I'm enjoying it. I think they've done a really good job with it. And yeah, I guess we'll have more of that about the rest of August.
It wrapped up in August. I think we have. I mean, it's only the start of August, so we got time for Resident Evil. But yeah, we have time for that as well. But yeah, it's a good show. I'd recommend. I mean, especially if you're going to use Peacock now because they're using WWE license, and I might not have Peacock again after that. So we shall see.
Yeah. WWE is doing everything they can to just to not have me like sign on with them again, because leaving this Peacock for $10 a month is fine. Like, I don't have any problem throwing $10 a month. There's enough that shows up on Peacock that
they're
jacking up their price as well.
I think it's like 15 or something like that. I know it's going up, but
10 was really like they were one of the reasonably priced ones.
So it's also really funny because when they started, they used to have the free tier, and I think they just completely got rid of that. Because, I didn't use the free tier, but it was nice to have an option. The streaming service, however, another thing, there's a new streaming service that announced this week called Howdy.
Mm.
It's like the budget streaming service is $3 a month. and with no ads.
Okay, that's through Roku.
Yes.
All right.
Who has a free streaming service? I assume this is.
Yes.
If we can get somebody to pay to get rid of commercials, we can do it. But yeah.
Yeah, if we have a Roku in the bedroom, that's what my wife uses to like watch Disney Plus and shit. But they have like a Roku channel, and it's much like Tubi. Like, if you watch something on the Roku channel, like you'll get like 20, 25 minutes, and then I don't know, 150 seconds of commercials before it resumes. But they sometimes have some decent stuff on there. I don't know if I certainly don't need another streaming service, but I do think I'm going to have to start kind of like going through what I have and like, hey, like what is everybody using currently? Is there a need for us to have all of these at once and start picking and choosing? Yeah. So Earl and I will continue watching Twisted Metal over August. We're going to, let's say what, 2 weeks we'll do Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Maybe the 21st. Yeah. So this was a short one. We haven't played much. Tony was on vacation.
I highly recommend vacation. 5 out of 5. You should do that.
Vacation's nice. Earl, you have not traveled this year, I feel.
I've not had a big trip. I've had a bunch of, I've gone away 3 times. I've gone to Chicago. I've gone upstate twice. Just for like, again, it's been a weird, not a weird year. I mean, I say it. It's been a great year, but because it's like my 40th and so many of my friends are turning 40, it's just been me more hyper-focused on trying to do stuff with them.
Yeah.
So like when I went to Barbados last year, that was my friend's 40th. I went to Chicago, me and my friends celebrated our 40th. I rented a house with some friends back in May to all celebrate. Because again, we all have birthdays throughout the year. And so instead of doing that, and then back here, I've had just a bunch of people turn 40. So I've been around for that. Right now, I think my next trip is supposed to be sometime next month. Like right now, I have tickets booked to Ireland. I might postpone that until next year and then do something more, a bit more domestic. They still don't trust the guy in charge to get me back in the country.
Fair.
So we shall see.
So short episode for us this week. We will be playing games.
Games will be played.
We'll play games, and I don't know. Maybe we should do a Hall of Fame episode. We did the tournament. For where we split.
Oh, was that the decades one? Like the 85, 90? Okay. Yeah.
I think that's all we have is where in the world is Carmen Sandiego and God of War?
It's a very funky game.
Yeah, let's see. 2025. Yes, that's all. Maybe we'll work on that, get some more entered in as it is now. 2010 is the entry so for us. So maybe we can talk some of that stuff out. But yeah, we'll play some games, we'll watch some video game stuff, and maybe do a Hall of Fame in the near future. Earl, say goodnight.
Ladies and gentlemen. And nine binaries and children around the world, it's time to say goodnight.
Okay.